All right, so the clotting drugs are better at what kind of clots? No. The anti-clotting drugs are better at venous clots. So things like DVTs, pulmonary embolisms. No. Now we're talking about antiplatelet in a moment here.
So,
yeah, I said anti-clotting factor. Anti-clotting factor drugs are better at venous clots. Things like... Are you done, woman? We just talked about it for the last hour. I know. You should rethink your representative. All right, so anti-clotting factor drugs like heparin, Lovenox, and warfarin are better for venous clots. You can use them for arterial clots, but they're better for venous clots. So things like DVTs, pulmonary embolism. Antiplatelet drugs, on the other hand, are better at preventing arterial clots. So these are what we're going to use for things like stroke and heart attack. We only use heparin and warfarin once the person has had the heart attack or the stroke. We use antiplatelets to prevent and to treat the heart attack or stroke. So there are three groups of drugs. First one is a drug unto itself known as aspirin. Next, we have what we call ADP receptor antagonists. You'll remember, hopefully, that ADP was one of the chemicals that is released when a platelet degranulates. And it tells other platelets to degranulate, become sticky, and activate their GP2B3A receptors. Hello. So we can block those ADP receptors, thereby inhibiting platelet degranulation. The drug for this is clopidogrel, or Plavix. And don't worry, it's written down on a later slide. I just want you to hear the name now. And then we have GP2B3A inhibitors, which block the harness that the fibrin ties to on the platelet. So what this does is it prevents the clot from becoming stabilized by fibrin. This is a relatively new class of drug. It's only been out for about 10 years now. And when I first went through nursing school, I didn't have to learn about these because platelets hadn't yet evolved those receptors yet. Oh, and the drug that you're going to know for this one is Integrilin, which is the brand name because the generic name is really complicated, so we don't care about that.
What is it?
Integrilin. Like integrity. Don't worry about it. We're here. All right, so aspirin. Remember that aspirin binds to COX. And it irreversibly binds to COX-1, which means that once aspirin attaches to a platelet's COX-1, that platelet will not function normally until it croaks and is replaced by a new one, which is about how long?
55.
About 7 to 10 days. So once a person has that dose of aspirin, it's inhibiting them for about 7 to 10 days. If we give aspirin in larger amounts, it will actually begin to inhibit more COX-2 than COX-1, and COX-2 is actually pro-clotting. So we can only use aspirin in very small doses. So what's the normal dose for preventing a heart attack or a stroke? 81 milligrams, how often? Once a day. To treat a heart attack, what do we give? 325. Technically 160 to 325, but 325 is good for us. Now, 5-year bleeding risk. What that means is if you start taking aspirin today, what are your chances of having a GI bleed within the next 5 years? It's about 2 to 4 patients out of 1,000, which if you convert that to percentage would be about 0.2 to 0.4%. Now, there are some people who say, you know, aspirin is just too dangerous. We really shouldn't use it. It kills more people than we save. But not everyone who gets a GI bleed actually dies from one. The mortality is actually even smaller than that. The other thing is that not all strokes are caused by clots. Some strokes are caused by bleeding. And you can have 0 to 2 bleeding strokes per 1,000 people on aspirin. So between these two side effects, there are some people who say aspirin is not worth it. Others say, well, the risk of bleeding is not as great as the risk of having a heart attack or ischemic stroke, so you're better off being on the aspirin. The important thing, the important take home is that you shouldn't just decide, or a patient shouldn't just decide, you know, I've heard about this aspirin thing, I think I should start taking it to prevent a heart attack. Because unless they're actually at high risk for a heart attack or stroke, their chances of bleeding or having a hemorrhagic stroke are actually higher than their chances of preventing a heart attack or stroke in the first place. So the key thing is weigh the risks of bleeding versus the risk of heart attack, stroke. It's not for everyone, only for people who are at high risk. If a person says, well, I take the enteric-coated stuff and that doesn't hurt my stomach, well, yes, it does. It just doesn't cause pain. So it can still cause bleeding just the same. All right, that's it for aspirin. That was easy, huh? Because we already talked about the rest of the stuff that you still need to remember, like don't give it to children because of Reye syndrome and all that. All right, ADP antagonists. The way they're going to work is they're going to bind to the ADP receptor on the platelet. It's going to inhibit degranulation and aggregation. So the two agents or two drugs that you might see are ticlopidine, which is called Ticlid, and clopidogrel, which is called Plavix. And again, Plavix is the one that you're going to need to remember for our course. It's by far the more common drug. And the only dose of it is 75 milligrams, so it's a nice, easy one to remember. Adverse effects, bleeding. Neutropenia, interesting, huh? It can actually destroy your neutrophils, or at least suppress their growth. And it can also cause thrombocytopenic purpura. Ooh. So it can actually kill your platelets. And what's interesting here is that you get a clot. You get like an artificial clot that burns up all your platelets, and then you get purpura after that. But again, these two are fairly uncommon. This one is much more common, especially because people who are on Plavix are also sometimes also on aspirin and or warfarin or heparin at the same time. So you put a person on all those different anti-clotting medications, the next thing you know, patient's clotting or bleeding. All right, that was it for Plavix. Pretty simple, huh? All right, next one is the GP2B3A inhibitors. What is a GP2B3A receptor again? So it's the harness that platelets use to tie themselves to fibrin. So think of it as a carabiner. What we're going to do is we're going to block that receptor. We're going to prevent fibrin from binding to platelets. There's three drugs. They're all given IV only, which means the person has to be in the hospital. Usually, it's going to be given in combination with heparin. So you don't give them by themselves. You also give heparin. And the primary use is in what we call acute coronary syndrome. Say acute coronary syndrome. So acute coronary syndrome consists of two things, unstable angina and non-Q-wave MIs. So what is unstable angina again? We talked about it in health assessment. But what's angina, first of all? Chest pain. All right, what's stable angina? It comes on when you exert yourself and then goes away with rest or nitroglycerin drugs. What's unstable angina? It happens at rest or doesn't go away with rest or nitroglycerin. So a person who gets chest pain at rest or who gets chest pain when they exert themselves but does not go away with nitroglycerin or rest is going to be considered to have unstable angina. These are both medical emergencies, and patient on these things is probably going to be given aspirin, one of these GP2B3A inhibitors, and heparin. The other thing is a person who gets what we call a percutaneous coronary intervention. So what does percutaneous mean? It actually means through the skin. So percutaneous is through the skin, coronary, of the coronary arteries, intervention. So what that means, we're going to send a person to a magical place in the hospital called the cath lab, or catheter lab, sometimes called the heart cath lab. And what's going to happen to them while they're in that cath lab? So we're going to stick a needle, or stick a catheter, into their femoral artery, run it up through their aorta, up into the heart, and then we're actually going to try and deliver either clot-busting medications to the artery that's affected, or we'll try and open it up with angioplasty or a stent. When a patient gets one of those, a lot of times they will give them one of these GP2B3A inhibitors. So the drug names. I told you they are really funky drug names. I can't say it. So what you're going to say is Integrilin. That's the drug name you need to know. And the adverse effects are bleeding, especially from the site where they punctured the femoral artery or from the IV site. So places that they're already, you know, already punctured the patient, that's where their chances are they're going to bleed. So if we have a patient who's had a heart cath and they're on one of these drugs, what do we need to assess? Okay, the site and what else? What happens if they're bleeding out, gushing out of here, out of the femoral artery? Okay, but where? What else will be affected? Blood pressure. Okay, you can check the blood pressure. What else? Where is this blood supposed to be going? It's being spurted outwards. Okay, it's supposed to go down to the lower extremities. So what might we want to assess down there? The pulses? We want to check the pulses, the color, and the warmth of the extremity. Because you're not always going to have bleeding out of the body. Sometimes that bleeding will be inside the skin. So they can get a hematoma under that part. So you're going to check the pulses in the feet is probably the most important thing other than the site itself. But you can't really look under the site because they're going to have a pressure dressing on that. All right. That's it for antiplatelet drugs. There's some others, but we don't need to know them. Thrombolytics. Thrombolytics break clots. And the thing you need to remember about thrombolytics is extreme risk for accidental death by bleeding to death. So they're much more dangerous than anti-clotting drugs. So they're only used in a case where the patient life is at risk. They're sometimes called fibrinolytics because they break down the fibrin that holds the clot together. That's it. All right, the two drugs you need to know. One is streptokinase. The other is tenecteplase, or TPA. Streptokinase is older. It's slower. There's more side effects, but it is cheap. And we use it for pulmonary embolisms, myocardial infarctions, and DVTs. Tenecteplase, or TPA, is expensive, fewer side effects, and may work a little bit better in some people. Now, when I say more expensive, what we're talking about is $150 for a dose of streptokinase versus like $3,500 for TPA. Maybe $2,500 now, but about five years ago it was about $3,500. So, again, used for myocardial infarction, PE, and stroke. So, in this case, DVT, no. Stroke, yes. Over here, stroke, no. DVT, yes. I'm not going to try and trick you with that. What I want you to know is you only use these in life-threatening illnesses, and this one's cheaper, more side effects, more expensive, fewer side effects. Bleeding is the number one side effect, and especially intracranial. And the reason intracranial is so dangerous is because because there's nowhere for that pressure to go in the brain, so it squeezes the brain, causing cerebral damage. The other thing is time to treatment. These thrombolytics work best the sooner you get the patient there. Once it's gone past 2 hours, there's really not any real benefit in terms of giving them over just giving the clotting factors. So the most important thing about the thrombolytics is that we only use them in life-threatening situations, and the earlier we use them, the better off. All right, so nursing so whats. You might want to pay attention to the nursing so whats, because this is where some of your questions will come from. It's also why you need to know these. Oh, you don't have them? I'm sorry. I added these last semester, but I guess I forgot to. Well, that's because you probably printed it out from the slide. I probably didn't update the PDF, is what it is. All right, so I'll put them up there. Don't worry. Is that right? Okay, nursing, so what? Platelets and clotting factors work together to make clots. Right? You got that. Platelets stick together. Clotting factors activate fibrin, which holds the platelets together even better. Things that promote inappropriate clotting include arterial inflammation. So this is going to lead to things like heart attacks and strokes. Slowed blood flow. This is going to lead to things like DVTs, AFib clotting, and AAA clotting. Slow blood flow things include immobility, posture and physical blockages, and defects like aneurysms. Inflammatory disorders like systemic lupus erythematosus, rheumatoid arthritis, septicemia, and DIC can also cause clotting. Arterial prophylaxis. We're going to use antiplatelet drugs, Plavix, aspirin, and Integrilin. Those are the three drugs you need to know. For venous prophylaxis, we're going to use anticoagulants. What are the three drugs you need to know there? Heparin, Lovenox, Warfarin. Active arterial clots. We're going to use both of these, the aspirin plus the heparin, and we might also use a thrombolytic. For active venous clots, we're going to use anticoagulants. For pulmonary embolisms, we're going to use anticoagulants, and we're going to consider a thrombolytic. For heparin, we're going to check PTT. For warfarin, we're going to check INR. That's it. You're done. All right, we are going to try and get through cancer in the next hour-ish. If we have to push a little bit to tomorrow, we can do that, but it would be nicer if we could just finish today.